Let's go to Cal Toomey, to AFL draft expert. And when you think about the kids aren't playing, and at 16, 17, 18, they can make massive strides. They can put in size and muscle, and unfortunately, they can't strut their wares. Cal, how are you?
Good evening, Blighty and David. Yeah, it's an interesting time of the year, particularly to be an AFL player or an AFL prospect, because they're feeling this just as hard as anyone.
Cal, probably to the uneducated, it appeared to be drafting blind, but I'm sure most experts and talent scouts have been watching these kids for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point to make, because even if the players don't play again this year, obviously the best result is that they do get out there at some point towards the end of the season, and the AFL will be hoping that they can somehow stage a mini championships, under-18 carnival, and be able to get the best players out there playing against each other, and then there'll be some form of draft at the end of that. That's the best result. But if there's no games over the course of this year for these under-18 players, recruiters, and I've spoken to many over the past couple of weeks, they're very confident that they'll be able to still pick the eyes out of this year's draft pool, because they've been watching these guys since they're under-16 level, basically, which was 2 years ago. Most of these players in this year's draft would have featured at last year's either championships or in the futures games, under-17s games that were played for this reason, so clubs will get a handle on future draft pools. So they will not be going in blind, but they'll certainly will be hoping that they do get to see a little bit more footy. But there's so much vision out there of these kids that they'll be able to get to see a fair bit of guys and go back through the archives, I guess the last couple of years of champion data vision, and pick the eyes out of the draft pool.
Cal, all I reckon I have to do is just watch you, see what you write about. I was fascinated in reading today. Have a listen to this, David. Cal has nominated 8.9 of the top 10 for the last 10 years-ish. Jeez. I mean, he's picked the top 10 a couple of times. How's that? I mean, you know, he's doing this as and 13 out of the top 20, he's actually got that right when the clubs draft him. I mean, Cal, it's an unbelievable strike rate. You know, I quote you all the time now. When you come out with your lot, I actually start watching those kids just by you picking. Where have you got that gift from, and why do you do it?
No, it's an honour to be quoted by yourself, Blighty. I appreciate that. I love it, and I enjoy seeing the kids for a couple of years before they get to the AFL level, and then enjoy watching them prosper or some of them maybe don't do it quite as well as I thought they were going to do, and then it's interesting to go back and realise and work out why that might have been. Were there some chinks in the armour that we probably overlooked when they were 17 or 18, or were there some things that we underestimated for the players who have gone on to prove us wrong? You know, I'll put my hand up. I probably wasn't the biggest James Warple fan in his draft year. I thought maybe there was limitations on what he could do, but his first couple of years at AFL level have probably shown myself and most recruiters out there that let him get through to pick 45 that he had more to his skill set than we most thought. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoy watching the players, and it's also, Blighty, at that time of the year in November when the draft was about to get their names read out, it's quite fun trying to work out and pick the brains out of AFL clubs and recruiters and trying to piece together a puzzle that usually doesn't quite fit, but we try our best to get as many pieces in the right spots.
The old phantom draft. Now, Cal, is there a standout one or two? As we know, they haven't played a game yet, but you guys have been watching for a while. Would there be a standout number one or two draft pick already?
Yeah, there is a standout number one draft pick, but the interesting thing this year is that he's actually tied to the Western Bulldogs Academy through the Next Generation Academy, and that's Jamara Ugle-Hagan. He's an Indigenous key forward, about 194 centimetres. Actually, he was the quickest over 5 metres a couple of weeks ago at testing in Victoria. So he's extremely athletic for his size. He's been likened to Buddy Franklin at the same age, which is a big rap to put on a kid, but so far, so good. He's been excellent. He played in the Oakley Chargers Premiership last year in the NAB League. So he looks like being the number one pick. He's the best player in it, but whether a club would actually bid number one on a player, I've still got my doubts about. The other two key position players right at the top of the pool are South Australian Riley Filthorpe, plays for West Adelaide, 200-centimetre, versatile, tall, key forward, bit of ruck work in there as well. I think this year he was actually aiming to play a bit of midfield time too, so he's got some real strength to his bow. And there's a key defender in WA called Denver Granger Barras, who looks like being an early pick too. So landed the Giants early on in this year's draft pool.
Cal, you mentioned James Warple from Hawthorn. You might have got one. Is there someone else that you missed that you look back now over a period? You've been doing this for a lot of years now. Is there someone you thought, oh, hell, he surprised me. He's become a great.
Well, it's funny. I won't say he surprised me, hugely, because, he's been amazing. But Marcus Bonzapelli in his draft year was someone that, I probably underestimated just how good he was going to be. I think that's fair to say. And, look, I like to group myself in with a couple of recruiters on that front too. There was a fair bit of surprise when the Bulldogs and Simon Dalrymple and Jason McCartney made that call to pick up Marcus Bonzapelli at pick 4 in 2013. That was a surprising call. Everyone can look back now, Blighty, and say, yeah, he was around that mark and it would have been a great call and we had him ranked around that point, but it's rubbish because it's just not true, because there was only a couple of clubs that had the guts to rank him that highly, and the Bulldogs took him at pick 4. So that was an amazing pick. I had him somewhere in the teens, I think, at that point. So, look, a little bit further back, but not a mile off.
I was sitting on the draft table for the Gold Coast Suns then, mate, just in my little role in the background at the Gold Coast Suns. And when that pick was gone, I didn't know them as good as anyone else, but let's just say you'd know the person I was talking about here, said, oh, you're kidding, they've drafted him 4. And that was on that table. And I always look now and think, wow, wouldn't he have been good at the Gold Coast Suns? Or anywhere, really.
Yeah. Well, they would have picked up Cade Collard-Jasny, the next pick. So they would have had their eyes on him. The left footer from Tasmania, who obviously hasn't had the career that he would have hoped through injury and concussion issues and different things. So it's interesting the way things pan out. We can nail the picks and who they're going to pick, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go into great careers, does it? So many possibilities and circumstances work out a career or not, and whether they can succeed or fail or push on and get the best out of themselves. So, yeah, there's a few stories like that going around, though.
I stood next to Marcus Bonzapelli up at Wyler when they played Port Adelaide. I'm 6'5", and he's not much underneath that, and he's a massive, massive unit, so you can see, and he's got all the skills in the world. Hey, Cal, can you tell us about Luke Edwards? Now, we saw his brother Jackson go to the Crows. Did not work out. Of course, Tyson, a legend, bloody coached at the Adelaide Crows. Is he likely to go to an Adelaide club, or where will he fit in the draft? Is he in the top 20, or what's your thoughts?
I think he's a top 20 player, yep. So I think that's the first part of that. I think he is a top 20 player at the moment. The next part is whether he'd want to nominate for the Crows, and I guess the Crows obviously have to accept that too and want to nominate him as a father-son too. So it's a relationship there that has to be mutual. I think the Crows would want him. They haven't had their huge share of father-sons over the years, and Jarman obviously was there for a little bit, as well as Jackson Edwards, which didn't end up that well for Jackson. But the reality is, I think Jackson was always probably at the back end of his draft pool, and probably a late pick slash rookie. It didn't end up him playing any senior footy, and he was delisted. But other clubs did have the opportunity to take him as well, either making a bid throughout that draft or then later on after he'd been delisted, and nobody else picked him up. So that probably suggested exactly where he sort of sat in his own draft pool. There'll be differing views around that, but I think Luke Edwards is probably in his own draft class rated a fair bit higher. So that's going to be one that's really interesting to watch unfold. Look, Luke's definitely told clubs that he's going to let it play out as the year goes on, and that's rival clubs, I should say, not just the Crows. Let it play out as the year goes on and make his decision a little bit later into 2020 as to whether he'd nominate for a father-son position or not.
Yeah, Cal, we've been talking about the possibility of restarting, and there's some great news around Australia today. The trend has been down for a couple of days in a row. Now, I said to Malcolm last week, the AFL with Gillon McLachlan seemed very confident they'll play at some point this year. And I was a half glass empty. Now I'm half glass full. I can see they could possibly play it, maybe even here in Adelaide or at the top end. What are you hearing from AFL, the circles there?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely are hopeful. I'm not sure where hopefulness turns into optimisticness and confidence. There may be a few steps in between those stages, but they're definitely hopeful of playing again in the second half of the season. You'd suspect that June would be at the very early end of things. I know that's, they've sort of stopped footy until May 31st, and June will creep up pretty quickly. So things would have to change pretty quickly for them to make decisions to be able to start playing again in June. But I'm hopeful, like everyone is, that there will be some games played. And, under what structure they're throwing and tossing those ideas around at the moment. I mean, they've talked about hubs at the moment, so whether you can get six clubs at different states, whether that's South Australia or Perth or the NT, even Queensland or Tasmania, and base six clubs each in three different states and play a round robin type of series of games over a shorter period to be able to just smash through these remaining 16 rounds of this season before they play a final series. That's been one suggested option. So I think they're really working out a way that they can push through as much as they can and get as many games on the board while they can as they deal with this outbreak.
Great stuff. Cal Toomey there, AFL draft expert. Thanks for that, Cal, and we'll speak with you at some hopefully down the track and find out as we get nearer to the draft. All that for Tyre Power. Committed to helping our communities and essential services. Please stay safe on the roads. Bit of like, not quite throwing a dart at the dartboard. They've been watching these kids for a long while, Malcolm.
Yeah, they have, and Cow's a beauty. I mean, his strike rate, David, is enormous for someone that's not tied up with a club. If I was actually drafting or picking players now, I'd actually bounce a few things off him because I think he's got a really good eye.
Wonder if he can tip racehorses like that. It'd be great, wouldn't it? I guess there, Cow Toomey for Lumo Energy SA, 100% Australian-owned and 1,000% about you. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, this is Sports Day SA.